Torahway, Northwest London, Thursday, Yutes Elul, 15th of September, Rabbi Zalman Rothschlitter, 8 Svoeven, on wood and stone. This week's Torahway Shurim have been sponsored by family Maxi Grosnas on the old site of his late father-in-law, Rabbi Aryeh ben Ramoshe Betzalel Reich Zecher Tzadik Livracha, whose yod site was on Tuesday.
Good morning. I'd like to focus today on a phrase which appears twice in this week's parsha and then one more time, but actually is less common than would sound at first glance. In this week's parsha, Parshas Kisuvai, Perek of Ches, Pusik Lamed Vov, the Torah tells us, Yelech Hashem Oischu Vesmalkachu, Hashem will take you and your king, Ashatukum Alechu, which you'll take upon yourself. They'll go to such a nation, Ashalo Yidatu, that you did not know Atav Avasechu, you and your forefathers, and Pashtis, Vavadatu Sham, and you shall worship there, Elim Achayim, other gods, Gachkis, Aids of Evan, Posek Lamadvuv, Aids of Evan, of stone, of wood and stone. And the same thing appears again further on, the Pusik Samach Dalet in the same perek. Ve'fitzcho Hashem b'chol ha'amim, Hashem will scatter you among all the nations, mikzayi uretz v'tekatzayi uretz, from one end of the earth to the other. And again, pashtis v'avadatu sham, and you shall worship there lehim achayim, other gods, ketchkelech. Asher lo yedat atav avasecho, you and your forefathers never knew, eitz v'evan of wood and stone. Now, this solution is added to one more time in Parshas Veschanan, the Parsha that we read also on Tisha B'Av, the Parsha of Kisoy Lidbunim, in Perek Dalet in Pusik Kof Ches. The Pusik says similarly, Vavadatim Sham Elohim, and he worshipped their other gods, Masay the Udam, made by hand of man, Eitz Vo'Evan, of stone, of wood and stone, Asher Le'ilun Ve'Le'Shmu, they don't know, they don't eat, and so on. Now, the tzante is that generally speaking in Tanakh, when the Torah refers to idolatry, the lushan of pusik usually as a lekai kesef, a lekai kesef, a lekai zuav, made of gold and silver. In fact, the first time it's mentioned the Torah is straight after Matan Torah, the Abishah says, lo sasen iti, a lekai kesef, a lekai zuav, lo sasen lechem. Chazal, this is in Parshas Yisro. Chazal takedashne to further meanings that it also refers to making extra kruvim. But I'm creator with that pshita, as it says in Ben Ezra Cheskini. And in other places, even in Parshas Netzuvim, which we'll learn by Hashem, where it does mention Eitz for Evan, it's only together with Kesev Azov. Vatirish ish kitzayim vizgidilayim Eitz for Evan Kesev Azov Hashemuim. But to appear only Eitz for Evan is these three times as mentioned. And the kashi is vuspshat. The Torah usually says that altogether, all the fun that a person can make a getchke, carved in wood, chiseled in stone, cast in gold, engraved in silver, but just Eitz v'Evan, what is unique about this? Now the thing is, that there's something else which is unique about these three psukim, which makes us believe that Eitz v'Evan is not a coincidence. Because in all three places, Rashi says, the pshat in the pusik is not like the pashtas that I just said, that we're going to worship these gachkis of Eitz v'Evan when we get scattered among the nations. Rashi says in all three places, which is to say, in Veschanan, and both times here in Pashtas Kisuvai, k'targumoy. And what does Targum say? Targum says that it does not mean that we're going to worship them, but rather, not like the pshat, it means that we are going to worship, we're going to sorry, be subjugated by the nations who in turn worship Eitz v'Evan. To the nations who worship these. Fine, very nice. But now we surely must understand why Dafkin, in the three places that Eitz v'Evan mentioned, the only time it's mentioned the Tanakh is a phrase, Dafkin, in these three places, Rashi, Nebuch, enough times in the Torah says very clearly that they'll be exiled, that if we don't do correctly, we're going to end up worshipping idolatry as has happened with Poel. And Rashi is perfectly fine to accept that that's the Pushat and Pshat in the Pusik. Why here, Daik Rashi says no, Nishu de Pushita Pshat, but Katargimoy, and it actually means that we are going to be subjugated to the nations who worship Eitz v'Evan. So So to understand this, we have to first address a very famous and known big kasha regarding world history. How can it be that the Nevi'im prophesied about the gulus which came across Israel, the fall of Asher, the rise of Bovel, the rise of Yovan, the rise of Alexander the Great, the rise of Rome, the various gulus we had, the fact that Eden will be scattered among the nations, the Charbon of Asamidosh was all prophesied. Everything. Even the Nuremberg trials have a remnant of Megillasester, and is known from the large Osius in B'nai Human, which showed the modern Human for the past Human. So how is it never mentioned among the Nevi'im that there'll be the rise of Christianity and Islam? These two world religions that most of the world has impacted, the majority of the world, how could this never be mentioned? That there's going to be, besides Avodah Zarah, other monotheistic faiths which will completely change and pervert Torah. How's it not mentioned anywhere? And this kasha asks Reb Chaim Vital, the big Talmud of Dari HaKodesh. And Reb Chaim Vital says, in his words, certainly in his days, half of the world are Christians, half of the world are Muslims. Where is this not mentioned? So Reb Chaim Vital, in the cipher, Ais Hadas Toiv and Pashas Re'ai, says that because of the impact that Islam and Christianity had on the world, it was hidden from the Nevi'im, because it was inspired in the words of the greatest Novi of all. Moshe Rabbeinu prophesied the rise of Christianity and Islam. Avidos, Pashas Re'ai. In Parshas Re'ai, there are two closely related parshas. The Pusik says, in Perikot Gimel, the first parsha is, Kiyukun Bekir B'chuv, they rise among you, Nuvi, a prophet, a cholem chalem, a person who dreamt a dream. This is Pasuk, based in Perikot Gimel. And he gives you a sign. The Pusik says, don't listen to him. It's only in the sign. And what will happen to this Nuvi? Yumas, he'll be killed. Kedibisur al Hashem. Okay. Next parsha, Pusik Zayin. Ki yisischo uchicho ben imchu, if your brother, the son of your mother, will try to entice you, and he tells you, let's go worship other gods, from these gods and those gods. No, it's not good. Hurek targeni, kill him. Yotchu tiba b'rishonu, first you hit him, v'yat kolom b'achronu. Zuktib Chaim Vital, the first parsha, I'll read you with a solution, because it's really interesting. He says like this. The first one, Harishon, goes on the Ishmaeli, on Muhammad. He dreamt a dream. He never said he's a god. He said he's a Novi. And it says, Mekir B'chu, because he went to a Yid to interpret his dream, and the dream led him to what he let him down. And that's why, being that he was not part of us, we didn't have to kill him. It doesn't say you'll kill him. It says he will be killed, which actually happened. And then the second parasha is Ben Imchu, your own brother, who's only your brother from his mother, because his father was a goy. That refers to the founder of Christianity. And in him it says, you shall kill him. But it says, B'rishonu. And B'rishonu refers to two things. Number one, he'll die in the first month of the year, which is to say, Nisan. And the second thing is, you will not be able to kill him. You will be the first step. You will believe that he has to die. But ultimately, Yad Kolu'am, the general world, the Goyshe world, will be B'achrenu. They will actually execute him. And these two parshas refer to the two great religions of the world, which are Menemis in the Torah. And Moshe, who saw Nevi Baspaklali Ameir, saw it to know it and warned Yidden of it. And these are the two parshas. Here it is. Azazok to B'chaim Vital. And it's interesting, because there's one other Nevi Chazal tell us wasn't the Darg of Moshe Rabbeinu. Who was that?
Bilam,
the equivalent. And in Ait Hadas Tov, in Parshas Bullock, he says that Bilam too, being on the equivalent Darg of Moshe Rabbeinu, also prophesies the rise of Islam and Nazareth. And where is that? In the pusik, loy ish al vayechazav, even udam vayesnecho. Hayuma veloy yase, dibu veloy kimenu. So he says the following. Bilam says, loy ish al, a man cannot be a god, referring to the founder of Christianity who claimed that he was godly. And then a separate story. Ibn Udam, there's another person who admitted that he had a father, but still vayesnechom, he also will regret what he has said. Why is that? Hahi, the former, he promised and didn't keep his word, so how can he be a god? V'diber, the one who never said he's a god, he just said he spoke in my name and Hashem's name. Lo yikimene also didn't keep his word. So Bilam, like Moshe Rabbeinu, the two greatest Nevi'im, Lahavdil, both prophesied the rise of Islam and Christianity. That's the Reb Chaim Vital. So Shtait Beferish in the Torah. Very interesting. Now this point that the Parsha of Kiyukim Bekir Bechur talks about not just a general Nuvi Sheker, but specifically about the rise of these two religions, is also hidden in plain sight. Because in every Chemesh Bekur Zagadoylus, if you look on the Pusik, Kiyukim Bekir Bechur, you'll see that it says here in Balatirim of Mplatz, Kiyukim Bekir Bechur, Bekir Bechur, Begematria Ziyu Ishu. The word Bekir Bechur means is gematria equivalent numerical gematria of the words zi ho'isha. This is the woman. As a shtat. Now the word is vus meint zi ho'isha. We do find in Sefri Drash, the Sefri Darshans, that Bekir Bechu comes to the rabbis as a ho'isha. Whether it's because it's a yitter in the word, it didn't have to say Bekir Bechu, it could have said kiyukum nuvi. Or whether because Bekir Bechu seems to indicate we're talking about a person who has a kerev, has a womb, has something inside of her. There's different ways of interpreting it. And the Sefri simply says that do not think that the Nuvi Sheker only refers to a man. A woman can also be a Nuvi Sheker. That's fine. But if the Balatir meant that drash, then why Ho'isha Bahai Hayadir? Why does he use the specific designation he's talking about, you know, the definitive article, the woman? Who's the woman? Nor, the clue to this is that in many older chumashim, this entire Balatirim doesn't appear at all. Shtad gunish. And whenever we see something missing, you know, it's like the Rebbe says in Chayda, this Rashi we're not going to learn. It calls the attention to it. And when we start looking, we realize that in general, gematrias in general were always very much viewed by the Christian censors with suspicion. And we see it in our everyday davening. We see it three times a day, Ulayin al-Shabayach al-Adayim akol. And in Ulayin al-Shabayach appears the words, Shamishtach mal-Hibah v'riknes palam la'ilei Yashia. In many older Siddurim, even some Siddurim printed 10 years ago, either it's missing or put in parentheses. And the reason why it's put in parentheses was because the censor insisted upon it. And we find already Machzav Vitri, and a Chilis Pesukim from Aram Rotenberg, it's omitted. This Dachemel brings the Nisach without having that. And Lakita Marich says the reason, and more Barich says in Safa Kesa Shem Tov, that there was a convert to Christianity who came forward and said that the words Varik are gematria 316, which is the equivalent gematria of the way we spell in Hebrew the name of the founder of Christianity, Yitzhi and Vov. And what Yidna Meram says is that we do not believe in him. And furthermore, he adds that the words Le'ay Lo Yeshia. So Lamed Aleph, La'ayin Lo is 92. The gematria of Muhammad, Mem Ches, Mem Dalet. And what Yidna is saying here every day is that we reject both Christianity and Islam. So they had it erased. And there's a whole cipher called Cipher Nitzuchen by a Tamchochem from Germany, Dr. Flipman Milhausen, who had long vikichem on this point. And he goes into the nitty gritty that the Lushan Kodesh is spelled with an ayin and it doesn't shtim, and how would you write it in Latin, and then in the miracle, how you make a gematria in Latin, and a chochesh and gans and klur. And he tells them this, the makor of these words are from Safi Yeshayu, predates Islam, predates Christianity, so the gunish golf. Now, interesting, I do not know whether he was saying this just the hoitzim libam of the goyim or otherwise, but the sound is that. We find actually in Sefer Kolboy, the Makar of most Menuga Ashkenaz, in Simen Kiv Kovbeis, you can check it up yourself, it's an older print, it says as Lehevel Velerik Begematria. Loi Begematria. It doesn't say what the Gematria is, it just says these words, Begematria, Begematria. So it's to indicate there is a Gematria here, but I'm not going to put it in writing. So seemingly giving us a siyata to that. There's a cipher called Orchis Rabbeini. A Talmud, a Rav Horovitz, a Talmud of the Stipler, wrote Tanhugas that he saw by the Stipler. And he writes down there, the Stipler used to say, Shaimashtach Melehivik Espanam Ali Yeshia, Yemach Shamam. When he asked the Stipler, he never answered him. There's a cipher called Shivas Agrach, questions asked at Chaim Kanievsky, short questions Kedarkoi. And said, Metuftuf Kiftes, they ask him, why did your father add Yemach Shamam, and how can he add the davening? And he says, it's not called Shinim Mabai Chachumim, it's part of the Nusach, not explaining. I found the Shulchan Aruch from the Hadik commander that he brings down the Pashto, the Nisach of the Olay Shabbarach, and he writes, Shtav Nekshir, Yemach Shema V'Zichrom, giving credence to the fact that indeed here we are specifically rejecting the Emine in Islam and in Christianity on a daily basis. Now, so Olbazoi, you can see that Gematria was very much on the radar. And Rekiv Arge has a svur. Rekiv Arge says the original Balatirim said Kiyukim Bekir Bechu Novi, missing a word. And this he's supposed to say Begematria Ziu Ishu Ibna. This is the famous woman and her son. And indeed, the numerical equivalent of Bekir Bechu Novi is 483, as the Gematria Ziu Ishu Ibna, which would explain why it's Ha Isha, with the definitive article the woman and her son. And this stems with what Chaim Vital tells us. This pusik is not a general nevi'ah on the parsha of a nevi'ah sheker, but specifically referring to Christianity and Islam. So now that we understand this, I'll add one point. It's well known that Mechuber Weissmandel, the Knight of Aydin, came up with a method after the war, wherein, based on the fact that it says in the Ramban that the Torah is given without pisik tam and pisik milim, the Torah is given as one stream of letters. Only the Masorah is how we have to divide the words, but it's essentially the Torah can be divided into other phrases as well. It's one long stream of words. So he said, if you take the Torah as one long stream of words, you can start counting certain letters. Like he found that if you count from the fifth letter 25 times in each parasha, it says yitkai vufkai, various things. It's called dilugim. If you skip certain letters, you come up with certain phrases. There was a scientific paper written by Donovan Weitzstam showing that statistically it appears in the Torah far more than you anticipate, even though you can find it in other works as well, statistically, and there's a lot of statistical analysis built around it and what it means. But I don't know exactly what it means, but I will say this, that there is an example of this dilug in this parsha. So if you look, the only time in the Torah where you find that you find the names of the founder of Christianity and Islam in one place is in the parash of Kiyukim Bekir Bechonovi, where if you count seven letters, you have Mem Ches Mem Dalad, 20 letters, and seven letters, you have Yid Shein Vov. So this parash clearly is the shayrish of these two aminis in the place which maybe is in the Torah on multiple levels, as the Balatirim tells us, and as Chaim Vital tells us. Now once we now understand this, we can now turn to our original question. We ask the Kasha, why does it say here in the Torah this phrase, Eitz Vo'Evin, which doesn't appear any else in the Torah on its own? And furthermore, Rashi tells us that here it's not referring to what Yidden are going to do, but rather being subjugated to the nations who in turn worship Eitz Vo'Evin. This is Mavar in the Kuzri. And the Kuzri says in Ma'amad Dalet, Kimat She'Omer, I'm almost certain what I'm going to tell you now. Ki Kol Ma She'Omer HaBoyre. All the Torah says when it says "Va'avadatem Shem Elohim Achayim Eitz Va'Even," V'Nishne Po'umim. It says a few times in the Torah, as we said, three times. Huremaz Al Eile. This refers to those Ashemeremim which elevate. And so Eitz the wood, Vashemeremim so Even who elevate the stone. Says it be the Alavi. That it does not say Kesev Azuv, because it does not refer indeed to the general worship of idolatry, which says many times in the Torah, but rather specifically to those who do not worship idols as such. Evusia. They elevate the cross, the wooden cross, and the stone in Mecca. And this does not refer to the old of the Elilim, but specifically to these two monotheistic. And now this is interesting, because unlike the times when Yetzav and Azuri was still shaded by Olam, when later we see Bechish and the Nevim, how Yidden were always tempted by Avad Azuri, Christianity and Islam never tempted Yidden, aside from a few isolated cases. Of unfortunately, when it was forced to mass conversion, Yidden as such never turned on master Christianity in Islam at all. And that's why I think Rashi specifically tells us that the Prat Nepusa cannot mean that there's a Nevi'ah that we are going to worship this Eitz Vo'Evin. Or rather, as it happened, we'll be subjugated to the nations who in turn are Christians and Muslims. And 99% of all Yidden in the world, maybe almost 100%, lived in Muslim and Christian countries. What percentage of Yidden lived in India, or in China, or in Japan? Nominal, because the Nevi was Niskayim. We will be le'amamay the pochan ta'avusa. We will be subjugated to nations who they worship or elevate the stone and wood. Now we'll say something interesting, because in these two psikim, there's an addition. In our this is parasha, and I stressed it before, but let's look at it again. Both times, both earlier on, in Pusik, in Pusik Lamed Vov, it says, "Asher lo yodatu atav avasecha." You worship such a God which you and your fathers didn't know. And then it repeats itself. Pusik Samach Dalet. Ve'avadat Hashem adim acharim, asher lo yodatu atav avasecha. Such a God which you and your fathers don't know. What does it mean, you and your fathers don't know? What's meant this? But according to what we're saying, it seems beautifully, because we're not talking here about something which is today, current time. Yidden who heard Ezra Evan had no idea what Moshe was going on about. It refers to something which is going to come in the future. And what is my proof? That's the exact same phrase which appears in Parshas Ra'ai. It says that someone will come to you and tempt you. And will tell you, it doesn't appear anywhere else in Tanakh, these words. Only these three times. Tying again together that this all refers to the same thing. Such a religion, such a getchka, such a nisayan, that you don't know, your fathers don't know, you won't know, because it refers only to the future. This, again, cements the understanding that it all refers to a future of a desire, a future problem which doesn't exist yet. And it's foretelling us the rise of Nazis in Islam. Now we stand now close to Rosh Hashanah, and we're all looking for schisim for Klal Yisroel. And the emphasis is that, as we said before, we say Olam L'Shalach every single day, but it turns now out that every time we say that we're not like them, we're miyachad yichad Hashem by rejecting the other minutes which we could have followed and we don't. Oh, but it's deeper than that. Every word the Yid says is all miyachat for the Yichad of the Agrishter. There's a common phrase in Yiddish. You say, when you want to say something is never happened, made out of thin cloth, you say, nish gestoigen, nish geflogen. Geflogen means not fly. What says gestoigen? Like steiging. You know, a person, a bucher is rising. A haltman steigen. Why do you say this? So, the Pleisi says that medazer shtar kiten. Obviously, people don't say it today, but sometimes in his times, people would say, "Du se emes v'shma Yisroel." He says, people mean it well, Shma Yisroel being like the ultimate truth, but don't ever compare anything to the truth of Shma Yisroel, as it's written in Pleisi. Every time you want to say something is not true, you say, it is so untrue, just as the claim that there was a man who died and rose from the dead, and there was a prophet who said that he flew. So when we say, we're rejecting Christianity and Islam. Every word that the Yid says, even the things that we say, b'derech agav, b'chaya chayim, is all nesiyachid to be ma'orin in us, the ketchet to the b'shefer, the yichid in the m'aybishten, rejecting falsehood, coming closer to the b'shefer. Not always do we think about it, but we can collect so many mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim just by focusing on the things that we say anyway and understanding v'us m'zuk m'deh. Somebody once asked, Rosh Hashanah and Erbach, it's true, it's a big zechus, but it's a Chinese. If you're not the kind of mitzvahs, you're also eligible to get a chet. What's this? He said, you misunderstand. The Torah gave us mitzvahs, which you do anyway. You put on your shoes in the morning anyway. If you put on the right shoe before the left shoe, it's the mekama mitzvah. It is no greater effort. But the Abishah gave us mitzvahs, which just by doing them, a mekama mitzvah, is part and parcel of things that we do anyway. And it's the same here too. As we come to Rosh Hashanah, we become closer to the Mamlech of HaShefer, and the Mamlech is our king. If we just focus on the words that we say in our day-to-day life, realizing how many times we are Mamlech of HaShefer to B'derech HaGav, but with a bit of focus, it brings us closer, it elevates us. We're going to strike from it, and we're going to fly from it, closer to the HaShefer, as Achlitz from the Magid Geben Shtiyur. So we learn from this, that even the Psikim of the Torah that seem to refer to general things always have a hidden meaning. Eitz v'Evan is not a gav, it's specifically referring to something. Rashi picks to say not to be the push of the pshat, is because here it's different than all of the other Surahs, there's something unique to it. And that the Nevi of Moshe Rabbeinu, more than all the other Nevi'im, tells us the future of what is going to come upon Klal Yisroel, the Nisyonis that we're going to have, And the fact that we're going to withstand that Nisoyin and nevertheless be subjugated to those nations who will follow through. Well, Messiah, with the famous words of the Rambam says, why did the Eibishter allow Christianity in Islam to rise? And the Rambam writes at the end of Hechas Maluchim in Parak Yud Bayis that it's like a training process. Goyim did not believe in the Bashefet Bechlal, didn't believe in Zchar Ve'oynisht, Elam Haba, Elam Haza, didn't exist. What Christianity and Islam did, it told the world the vocabulary. Now we can have a sprach, we can talk about Gehenna and Gan Eden. So you think that in Gan Eden you have, you sit and you eat and you drink, it's a Magarisa to us. Oh, but now we share a vocabulary. When Mashiach comes, he has an easier job to start teaching the whole world what the Emina is, because for the last 1,000 years, the vocabulary spread, the concept spread. And all that is doing is L'Hochen Esadayach L'Melech HaMashiach. So Avad, we hope Mashiach comes B'mahayri B'yumayni, and we accept that all this is steps to be a Mashiach, and we look forward to it. Mabait for Alekla Yisroel, Akit Geben Shtur, B'chom Meledamayta.
Amen.